Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Ask D-Mays in 30 minutes, so get those calls, get those texts,
those
questions in for D-Mays. The best question for D-Mays will win a nice prize, which we will reveal in 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Bob McGinn, longtime NFL insider, longtime Green Bay Packers insider, did a three-part breakdown about some of the things that he's been hearing around the league, the evaluation of some of the position groups of the league. He did a breakdown of the S2 cognition test. Bryce Young passed with flying colors and 98% on this evaluation that tests reaction time and your ability to not be distracted by things, basically things that are very important for quarterbacks, reaction time and being able to read things and make quick decisions, all very important for quarterbacks. CJ Stroud scored an 18. Absolutely awful. But Bob McGinn also did a breakdown of another position group, a position group that is of particular need for the Tennessee Titans, and it's the offensive line group. Now, I'll say the same thing about the offensive line evaluations that I said about the quarterback evaluations. Take everything with a grain of salt. This is all coming from evaluators and scouts that may or may not still be in the league. They could be doing whatever they can to throw people off about what their thoughts may be about this draft. So always take it with a grain of salt, especially with quarterbacks, but with any evaluation of any player. But one longtime personnel executive in the NFL said about this offensive line draft, "This is the worst offensive line crowd in the history of the draft."
Hell.
Dramatic, right? We have like 15 guys in our top 150 for an entire 32-team league. We need 320 linemen. It's so bad. There's going to be some reaches on offensive linemen in this draft. I think every lineman in the top 100 overall will go a half round to a full round, if not two rounds, higher than they normally would in a given year. Whoa. Now, again, grain of salt. This could just be, you know, blowing smoke. But still, the evaluation of the offensive line, that's not the first time we've heard that. Dane Brugler said something very similar on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday. Paul Kaharsky said also something very similar about the offensive line group earlier this week when he was on with Robbie and Rex Road. A lot of souring on the offensive linemen. So we're going to talk about not taking the quarterback earlier than you need to. We got to apply that same energy to every other position group as well.
Yeah, I was just looking at the top 31, like big boards and has, what, four or five offensive linemen. But, because I'm not going to sit here and say that this guy did, that they didn't do their evaluation on all of the offensive linemen that are eligible for the draft this year. But for you to say, this is the worst offensive line draft ever.
Yeah, like, how do you know that?
Like, wow, so you scouted all these offensive linemen that are coming out this year, are you just
this
talking
is another
about,
piece exactly. of evidence that the draft is too late because people have too much time if they're doing that, okay? Let's get the draft should be tonight.
Or are you just going, are you just talking about the top 10 offensive linemen? If you're just talking about the top 10 offensive linemen, still to say this is the worst offensive line draft ever, you would have to. This person would have had to go back 50 years, 60 years, 70 years and do his or her due diligence on every draft.
Yeah, there's some hyperbole.
I think it's a bit of hyperbole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But yes, it is. It's awfully dramatic.
Well, exactly, you know, the 76 dramatic. Draft, yeah. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Man, that 64. That 64 draft, man. They had nobody coming out that draft. Matter of fact, they didn't even draft the offensive lineman in that draft, in that 64 draft.
They drafted the Fonz from exactly. Happy Days.
It's just like, but, you know, when you're right, Willie and Caroline. One, let's just get the draft going. Two, yes, it was just an over-exaggeration, you know, over-embellishment of, you know, what you're seeing. So we're sort of somewhere in the middle. Is this the greatest class? Probably not. We're top end? Probably not. Is it the worst? Probably not. It's sort of probably in between. You have some good offensive linemen. And there may be, you have maybe one or two that project to be potential Pro Bowl or pro players. I don't know if they project any one of these guys as gold jacket guys. But just because you don't project him as being a gold jacket guy doesn't mean he then can't win, play good enough to receive a gold jacket, being Hall of Fame. When you look at this class, I think it's a, it seems to be at least the top 10 guys, top five guys, seem to be a good class. Mm-hmm. It may not be as good as others, but there are some quality starters in this league. I think what people have to understand is everybody's not going to be a pro bowler. Everybody's not going to be an all pro. Everybody's not going to wear a gold jacket. That doesn't mean they're not good players when they play. Some guys, I look at guys like Brad Hopkins, and he and I have talked about this. Brad Hopkins, the only fault of his was the year he was drafted and the guys that came out either his year or years, a few years after. They were so good and Hall of Fame guys. And he was the best offensive lineman that we had next to Bruce. He was a top five tackle in the league, but the four guys ahead of him, well, two of them were Hall of Famers, or three of them end up getting gold jackets. That didn't diminish what Brad was as a player. He was a damn good player. But because of the era of football he played in with those tackles, people don't realize how good you were because you were playing, in the shadows of, Purcelli, mm-hmm. or, the big guy that played with Oakland when they were the Raiders, Oakland Raiders. There were like three or four guys that were just like, these are guys, are Hall of Fame guys. That's the same thing with wide receivers. I look at a guy like Jimmy Smith. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But because of the guys he played, that he was compared to, those were great guys. But it didn't diminish what Jimmy Smith did for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The guy was a player. He was one of the best receivers of his time. But he gets overshadowed because of Irvin and some of these Jerry Rice and Tim Brown and some of these other guys that are Hall of Famers. But it doesn't diminish who he was as a player. So these guys may not be who, we have seen in previous years, but that doesn't diminish what they can potentially be for their team.
And it's important to think about, too, just because these people are NFL scouts, evaluators, GM, so on and so forth, that doesn't mean what they say is right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to project. I mean, Derrick Henry was a second-round pick. His evaluation going into the draft wasn't necessarily glowing. Mm-hmm. Look at Derrick Henry now. Justin Jefferson was the fourth wide receiver taken in the 2020 draft. You think the Eagles maybe regret taking Jalen Reagor, a pick before Justin Jefferson? So evaluators aren't always correct. They're not always truthful. And you have to think about who did it. Like, who is this NFL talent evaluator? Is it Bill Polian, mm-hmm. the greatest GM in NFL history? Or is it, Jabroni Central? This no
I know
name.
That guy. Don't talk about him.
Sorry, I didn't mean it.
He's a good guy. Okay?
Good guy. Exactly. Hardworking man. But that's what we also have to consider is mm-hmm. just because it's coming
JC.
From.
I call him JC, Jabroni Central. Yeah. He's JC to me.
Roni C. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, just because this person is an evaluator doesn't mean that they are right. Mm-hmm. Does it set off red flags? Totally. Should it you does. Still take it with a grain of salt? 100%. Draft season, man. It is just. I feel like I'm in a high school. Everybody's spreading rumors and gossiping about it.
Oh, man, I went to a big high school. We had a lot of those.
Rumors every day.
That's right. That song, I think, was playing in my high school when those rumors were going around.
Let's get your thoughts on it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie, D-Mace. Ask D-Mace in 15 minutes. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Ask D-Mace in 15 minutes. Get those questions in for D-Mays as D-Mays is getting his dance on, breaking it down here.
We're talking about rumors. It's draft season. Now, can you remember the name of the band?
Oh, my goodness.
Who sings this song?
No, I can't. I do not remember the band's name.
So, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, man. I know he had a Jerry curl, didn't he? He had a nice little curl.
That was the era.
Yeah,
that was the era.
He had a curl. I know he had a curl, but I forget the name of the band.
The Timex?
Yeah, Timex.
Timex blank blank. Timex Social Club.
Timex Social Club. There's three of them, wasn't it?
It's a fancy pants little band name.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can pull up a.
Was there girls
in
the group too? I'm trying to remember. Was there girls in the group as well? Because back then, you know, with Prince and all those, you know, everybody else.
Let's get to your phones. What do you think? Let's get to your phones.
We're going down memory lane here.
Let's go.
Phone lines
we'll talk about it at our high school reunion coming up here.
Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One texter texts in, a concerned fan, says, are you tired of talking about the draft yet? Are you tired of the speculation? It has to be exhausted.
Yes!
Willie is exhausted.
I'm with you.
I am fueled by it. I love waking up every morning and thinking, what is going to be the absolute bomb that is dropped today?
Why is the draft not tonight? What are we waiting on? What's going to change?
More rumors, man.
That's right.
Waiting on more rumors.
We're waiting on more,
more
S2
mock drafts.
Scores.
More mock drafts. Yeah.
More mock drafts.
I can't take it.
LZ from McMinnville texts in and says, how do we know that the Titans don't already think that they have their starting offensive line? Therefore, offensive line would just be depth picks. Looking at Dillard at left tackle, Brewer at left guard, Corey Levin at center, Brunskill at right guard, Nicholas Petitfrere at right tackle. I don't know how the Titans feel. Honestly, if the Titans went into this starting offensive line, I wouldn't feel very great about it. I don't want to run it back with Aaron Brewer at guard.
I think, but then you have Corey Levin that could potentially play the center position. I do believe that this went from a position of dire need once Rand got in to a position of need. We need depth. We need guys that if anything happens to our frontline guys, we got to be able to have the depth to continue to do what we're capable of doing as an offense. So I don't think it was once a dire need, now it's just a need. Because I do believe they think at this present time they have their left tackle for the next few years. They have their right tackle. They have their guard. They still got one of the guard positions. But they believe in this, you know, in their center as well, even though he may be undersized. And he may not end up playing. Corey Levin might play. He can play center, too, I believe. So I think they feel better now about their offensive line than they did at the end of the season.
And depth is never a bad thing.
No.
I love talking about the quarterbacks because this is such an intriguing quarterback draft. But there is a legitimate possibility that the Titans could take Paris Johnson or Peter Skoronski or another offensive lineman with the 11th overall pick. And I'm not going to look at it and say, dang, shouldn't have done that because you already got Aaron Brewer at guard. Yeah. No, you can never have enough depth. And I'll always say, even if it's not a specific position of need, take the best player available. If it's an edge rusher, if it's a quarterback, if it's a wide receiver, if it's an offensive lineman, if it's whatever it might be, take the best player available. Robert Texan says maybe C.J. Stroud did bad on the test on purpose so he wouldn't get drafted by one of the top teams that need a lot of work. Maybe he was wanting to fall a little bit so he could go to a good team.
Well, I mean,
You guys like the conspiracy theories.
We've seen where guys...
Give me more conspiracy theories.
Hell, we've seen what the royalty have done. You know, Eli Manning, he didn't want to go to the Chargers. And look at what he did. He forced his way out of there. We saw what John Elway did many years ago. We saw with there was another quarterback that ended up sort of doing some things to kind of get himself out of the draft position or didn't want a team to draft him. But it's not far-fetched, you know, to believe because we've seen it before. But we didn't make a big deal about them. That's I'm saying if that happened. I don't know if that happened.
I think it's far-fetched.
I do wonder if anybody from C.J. Stroud's camp will let the info come out. You know, it may not be the agent on the record, but maybe if there's a counter somewhere in the next few days, if this really gains any strength, mm-hmm. to say, okay, wait a minute. CJ, like maybe he didn't focus on the test, or mm-hmm. hey, this is a bunch of baloney, mm-hmm. right? He scored much better in this, and this. I wonder if there will be any of that, or if he even needs any of that, because sometimes it just destiny is what it is, right? Maybe he's just destined to be the seventh pick and not the second pick. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It used to be. Mm-hmm. Remember, before the rookie salary cap, there was a big difference between being picked first, 15th, 30th in that first round. The money would vary a lot. Mm-hmm. Now it's basically slotted, right? You're not going
to
get
it's slotted because they wanted to get away from me paying you all this money without you proving yourself, and then we're stuck with you if you don't, you know, turn out to be the guy we thought you were. Another guy that did that was Bo Jackson. When Bo Jackson got drafted, Tampa had the first pick, I believe, and Bo was like, I'm playing baseball. I ain't going to Tampa.
Yep.
I'm playing baseball. Mm-hmm. So it has been done before, but not in that manner with a test.
It's purposely tanking your own draft stock mm-hmm. is a dumb move.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't advise that.
If C.J. Stroud looked at it, and the people who are advising him, I don't know, whoever's in his camp, his agent, his family, whoever it is, they looked at it and said, look, C.J., we think that going to Houston would be detrimental to your career. Mm-hmm. Those are conversations that you have behind closed doors. Eli Manning wasn't going to the Chargers workouts and purposely, you know, falling over mm-hmm. and you know, overthrowing receivers. So those were conversations that they had. And who's to say that if the Texans look at C.J. Stroud's S2 score and say, hey, we can't touch this guy, it doesn't mean that a more well-equipped team later on in the draft is all of a sudden going to want C.J. Stroud. You tank your stock for one team, you risk tanking your stock for 32 teams. So it's a little bit too much for me to get on board with, but crazier things have happened.
Yeah.
Wes in Clarksville texts in, says, I don't think that they care about the offensive line. You saw last year how they let Dennis Daly continue to play game after game. And that was a problem.
Yeah.
And that was also a different general manager.
Dennis Daly jerseys, I'm going to say, are probably not going to be
what
plentiful.
What number was he? 71? I think it was 71, yeah.
They will not be very plentiful in the pro shop this year, probably, in the stands.
Well, I will go buy
them. Does anybody have
and
one?
And just change the name on the back.
Just throw a different nameplate on there?
I'll go get it if it's cheap and throw another name on the nameplate. But no, I the Titans care about the offensive linemen. To say they don't.
It's crazy talk.
I just think they were in a position last year where they were handcuffed. There was not much that they can do. Guys went down that they were depending on. Mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan, and it wasn't Taylor's fault. His ACL. And they just didn't have the right players in position to be able to come in and get the job done.
There were two things that I looked at this past season that I deemed general manager malpractice by John Robinson. The first one, naming Malik Willis the backup quarterback. Malik Willis never should have touched the field. The second one was not giving more support or depth to the offensive line. Because it's not Taylor Lewan's fault that he tore his ACL. No. It is John Robinson's fault for not having a more certifiable option on the offensive line, knowing that Taylor Lewan hasn't been regularly available over the last few years.
I think that's fair. I don't know if he had too much faith mm-hmm. in Raidens, but there were a lot of signals saying that Raidens would not be ready to jump into that spot, and they never really gave him a chance.
And we were talking about that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. So they didn't give themselves as many options. They didn't have the Dennis Kelly kind of guy mm-hmm. that they had in the past to plug in. And they had great success mm-hmm. with that in the past when Lewan missed a lot of games. They found the right guy who could at least give them decent production there. But they did not have that guy last year.
And it caught up to them. Up to them. That ultimately was the downfall of this team. Ryan Tannehill gets hurt because the offensive line couldn't block worth a darn. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D-Mace is coming up next. Get those questions in for D-Mace. The best question will win a nice little prize. We will reveal what that is coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Boom. D-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards. And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace, come on.
Get those questions in for D-Mace, and you could win a pair of tickets to see Erykah Badu and Mos Def at Bridgestone Arena on July 18th. D-Mace will pick the best question, and you could win a chance to go see Erykah Badu. D-Mace, you ready?
Hey, let's get it going.
Let's get into it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle texts in and says, with less than a week until the draft, is there anything that a draft prospect can do to increase their value, or are they basically set?
I think you're, at this point, what we're a week, just under a week out, I don't know if there's anything you can do as a potential draftee to up your stock. That's, you know, you've done everything you can do. Just don't get in trouble. That's what I said. And just don't let no news stories come out that are going to be detrimental to you. But, you know, I don't think there's anything you can do because they've watched all the film. They've had the interviews. They've had the workout. So you've done your job. Whatever it was, you've done it. And now it's up to the GM and the head coaches and coaches to figure out if you are a first-round pick, a sixth-round pick, or a free agent, you know? So I don't think there's much a player at this point can do now.
The hay is in the barn.
Yes.
The
as
hay
they say.
Is in the barn. I think the only thing that can help your draft stock is if another player at your position gets arrested or there's something that comes out. You know, all of the damning evidence that we've seen come out right around draft day. We talked about Laramie Tunsil yesterday. That is a perfect example of dirty laundry that tends to come out right around this time.
I wonder if there will be more of that between now and the draft. Probably so.
You never know.
If there's something out there, I'm sure someone will find it. Wes is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Wes?
Man, y'all kind of know where my question's headed because it kind of got stolen from me from that text, but I got to call in and at least pick your brains with it anyways. Let me start by asking you a series of questions before I get to the real question, but let me start off by asking you if Marcus Mariota or even Jameis Winston, if either one of those two players got drafted by the Chiefs or the Patriots during the big Patriots era, do you think that they would have ended up differently in their careers than where they are at now?
Oh, man. Considering the franchise you just named, probably so. You would just think, not taking anything away from the Tennessee Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but Tampa was in a different position back then when they drafted Jameis Winston, their franchise. So you figure either Jameis or Marcus, had they went to New England with Bill Belichick and that whole coaching staff and players, I think they would have did. They probably would have had a better start to their career.
I also look at the other side too. If Jimmy Garoppolo never ended up in San Francisco, would he have ever gone to a Super Bowl?
Exactly.
Probably not.
And that's my point. Yeah. That's kind of my point, because didn't Eli Manning and Philip Rivers have a big old situation when during their draft? Is that correct?
So Eli Manning was drafted first overall to the Chargers. And if you go back even further, his dad, Archie Manning, was drafted by the New Orleans Saints when they were absolutely positively awful. And so what could have been a Hall of Fame career for Archie Manning if he was drafted by a better team wasn't, because he was drafted by a horrible team. So you can kind of see why Eli Manning was so, or at least his dad was so anti him being drafted by the Chargers, because he didn't like the place that the Chargers organization was in. So Philip Rivers was drafted number two by the Giants, and they flopped.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like if the Texans would have gotten Mariota, he would have had the same career, same for Jameis Winston. So do you not think that it's really not bizarre to me to think that Stroud is sitting there like, yo, I'm not going to that division. I'm not playing for that team. And if they're really looking into this, they know my ability. So why would I even try on this? If this is going to make the Texans want me, I don't want to go there. I want to fall in the draft. Like, it's my career. Why would I want to waste 3 or 4 years in Houston? So that's my question.
Thank you, Wes. Thanks for your call, appreciate Wes. The call. Hey, I mean, listen, we don't sit here and talk, you know, and proclaim Houston be this model of what a franchise needs to be. They are far from that. And listen, I can get both sides, but I wouldn't have advised that. Like, you know, I wouldn't advise you as a quarterback doing that on that particular test if these GMs are, you know, looking at that test and put a lot of stock in it. You know, if they're putting a lot of stock in it, then I need to go out there and do the best I can, regardless of who it may benefit as far as team-wise. I go another path rather than that one.
And I try to think about it in normal people terms, right? Mm-hmm. If you're interviewing for a bunch of different jobs and there's one that you think is probably going to set you up for more success in the future, and there's another one that's also a really great opportunity, you're not going to tank the one interview that you don't think is as good as the other one just because you want the other one more. You wouldn't intentionally hurt yourself. You would do the best thing that you can do to set yourself up for success, and then you go from there.
Exactly.
You have the other conversation that you need to have. Indy Ben Texan says, question for D-Mace. Say both the Colts and the Titans take a first-round quarterback. Who do you believe can have more success developing them? Steichen and their offensive staff, or the Titans with Kelly and their offensive staff?
From what I've gathered about Charles London, he's a really good, you know, developer of quarterbacks. He is, you know, the quarterback's coach for the Tennessee Titans. You look at the organization and where it's headed. So it's like, okay, I'm looking at all this, and it leads me to believe that the Titans are a good landing spot, you know, for a quarterback, because the organization is set up as such. Now, last year, y'all know how I felt last year. I felt that the quarterback's coach needed to be changed because I didn't see any development in Malik Willis. You told us there was no development in Woodside because you put him on a practice squad and elevated, you know, Malik Willis. So that's telling me from a player standpoint, well, you thought Malik Willis was better than Woodside, which may not have been the case. It may have been some other reasons why you chose to do that. But from the outside looking in, it's his development, meaning Woodside, hasn't gotten to a point where you believe he's the backup quarterback and you'd rather go with the third rounder. But they've since changed quarterback's coach. They got a new offensive coordinator. So this would be, I believe, would be an ideal spot. Not because of the head coach, but because of the organization as a whole. I think it's good for a young quarterback to come in here and sort of learn. And I don't know much about Indy, but hell, Indy has had a good track record of quarterbacks. Say what you want to say. Now, the last few, they've been older quarterbacks, minus Phillip Rivers, because the Phillip Rivers did have his moments.
Yeah.
He did lead them to the playoffs. But the rest of them, they were old quarterbacks on teams that were beat up, and they were already developed. So you can't say, well, Indy isn't a good place because you're looking at the last two quarterbacks. They were veteran quarterbacks.
I mean, four or five, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
they
right.
had five
Absolutely.
Quarterbacks in the last 5 years. It was Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, mm-hmm. Carson Wentz.
And they've developed Matt developed Ryan. Jacoby Brissett. He was a solid starter, a really good backup.
He was a backup.
Exactly.
A backup that could win you some games if
Absolutely.
You need to. And I've been hearing a lot about Shane Steichen, mm-hmm. who is the Colts' new head coach. I've heard a lot about he is like a quarterback whisperer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about Shane Steichen, really. I just have his resume. And they say he is a quarterback whisperer. Well, in with the Chargers, part of his career as an offensive coach mm-hmm. was with Phillip Rivers, which mm-hmm. you can't claim that Shane Steichen was the one that developed Phillip Rivers because Phillip Rivers was already developed. This was, you know, mid to late 2010s. Enter Justin Herbert. Well, he was only with Justin Herbert for 1 year before he went to the Eagles in 2021. And look at Jalen Hurts' 2021 season. After that year, we were all thinking that Jalen Hurts was going to get replaced. Now, maybe it was the work that Shane Steichen did in the offseason with Jalen Hurts that turned him into maybe he's getting replaced. Is Jalen Hurts a backup to now just signed the highest contract AAV-wise in the history of the NFL? Maybe that was Shane Steichen's magic behind the scenes. Maybe it was a combination of that and also adding A.J. Brown and having the best offensive line in the league and having the best defense in the league.
It's a lot.
So it's tough for me to kind of pinpoint what was Shane Steichen. Like, is Justin Herbert what he is because of his 1 year with Shane Steichen? Or, you see what I'm saying?
Is it a combination of a few things?
It's hard for me to evaluate really truly what Shane Steichen is.
Okay, got one for you, D-Mace. This one just came down. For the first time since 1968 in college games, clocks will no longer stop on first down. Now, that's going to change the college game a lot. I guess they're trying to keep the game moving a little bit more, but certainly changes the two-minute drill at the end of games, at the end of the half. Do you like the rule?
I do. I do like the rule. I think it puts everyone back on the even playing ground. At least like the big boys. It put them back on the even playing ground. Because I've always hated that, you know, you get a first down, the clock stops. No, why does the clock stop? Let it keep going. That has nothing to do. The first down extends the play. Well, the clock should keep going. If it extends the play, I can see if, you know, you don't make a first down and it's a turnover on downs, then the clock stops. I understand that. But if we're continue to go, then let's roll with it. Now, does it specify whether in 2 minutes it will stop or?
Oh yeah, I think it's now going to be like the NFL.
Oh well, I'm in agreement with it.
I am too.
Get back on
like
football.
It.
Let's go.
College games take too long.
I love college football. My heart beats for college football. There's no college football games have no business being 4 hours long. I mean,
that's what's happening.
Is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to look at college football being the developmental league for the NFL, make the rules the same.
Like the whole, when you fall down, you should be able to get back up if nobody touched you. I never understood that rule
in my life. I wonder if there will be some
life.
Thought on that.
Like you could be running wide open by yourself and all of a sudden you trip. We've seen it done. It could be the biggest moment of your life or a national championship game. And you run in and you just lose balance and trip. And you lose because of that. No, you should be able to get up if nobody's touched you and run more.
Imagine if the Auburn kick six never happened.
Exactly.
Because he got too ahead of himself and tripped.
It's just like, man, come on. Please stop it.
More questions for D-Maze coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, and tune in to Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3. The game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th, and Friday, April 28th. That's next Thursday and Friday. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountaintops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. The best question for Ask D-Mace. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Erykah Badu and Mos Def at Bridgestone Arena on July 18th. So let's get into it. Your questions for D-Mace. We'll take your calls, your texts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Wes in Clarksville, Texan, says, if you were the NFL commissioner for one day, what NFL rule would you change and why?
Oh, boy. What NFL rule would I change and why? I would go back to the old overtime rules. Just keep it. Listen, I understand we've been playing 60 minutes, four quarters of football. If we got to play an extra quarter of football, whoever scores first, you win. That's just the way it is. I mean, we all, you know, are fighting hard and playing hard. And, you know, if I score, no, you shouldn't get an opportunity to score. You should have stopped me. And then you get your opportunity to score. Again, this goes back to I'm giving you a participation trophy. Because they score and I'm giving you an opportunity to score too. Or I'm going to give you the trophy so you can feel good about yourself. No. Mm-mm. No. You couldn't stop them? So be it. You had your opportunity. Your opportunity was one, you should have called heads instead of tails. That was your first opportunity. Your second opportunity was, well, you let that team just go on a either one play and score, or because you should have been in defense to not allow that, or you had 10 plays to stop this team and you couldn't do it. That means you don't deserve to win. Let's move forward.
Fair point.
There you go.
One texter asked D-Maze, what was the most difficult route for you to learn and run correctly?
Neither. Not one. And I honestly mean that. There was not one route. I mean, routes are not complex anyway. Now, some guys, because of, you know, some guys are a little stiffer than others. Some guys have a, you know, problem with dropping their hips and getting in out of breaks, you know, than others do. But, you know, I didn't have that problem, mm-hmm. you know, because that was one of my things. I wanted to be a technician when it came to route running. I had good teaching from coaches. It was started at, you know, college with Charlie Baggett and Skip Pete and those guys being in the NFL and then coming back, you know, telling me and teaching me other players that came back. So I never had a problem with any routes. Like, what you want to run? Okay, I'm going to do it.
That's why he's the GOAT. Yeah.
Spoken like a true pro.
But I always like, if how do you want me to run this? Like, yeah. I know a nine, a bench, bench people, B-E-N-C-H, bench route or something else. It was like, how do you want me to run this route against certain coverages? That probably was the extent to it. But once I understood how they wanted me to run it versus different coverages, then I was good.
Got one from Xavier here. D-Mace, on the OT topic, do you think college OT should be the same as the NFL? Because college OT is exciting.
College OT is exciting. Now I'm no longer the commissioner, and I really don't care about the overtime rules. But I think there's a bit of, when you're talking college OT, I think there's this excitement about it that people just love. It may go long and we hate that, you know, all in all, but there's an excitement like, okay, cause there's a certain point where you gotta go for 2 points. No longer can you kick a field goal. You gotta go for 2 points. And that's exciting.
That's how LSU beat Alabama. Absolutely. This past year. They went for two.
So I think if the NFL, I think that's one thing. Like, if you're going to, I am not the commissioner anymore. I'm just a player or a coach. I think that rule works out better. Cause after the first two, it's like, okay, if you score now, you gotta go for a 2 point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get it, then so be it.
Then the ball's in their court,
exactly,
quite literally.
Absolutely.
Tom Texan says, which defensive back or cornerback talked the most smack and couldn't back it up?
Oh, my. Wow. I thought you was about to say just talk a lot of smack. I don't think there was starting guys. I don't think there were many starting guys or any starting guys that I went against that talked trash but couldn't back it up. Now, they may have talked trash and, you know, I may have beaten them.
And
on
you
a,
just
yeah,
smoked
I may
them.
Have beaten, but that doesn't mean that they were not good defensive backs. I just got the better of them at that particular moment or that game. Mm-hmm. And they may have come back and got the best of me. I always go back to, you know, I remember playing Cincinnati. And, you know, they had double coverage me. They put double coverage on me the first game. And I was frustrated and everything else. And so I went after the game. I was like, listen, yeah, they can take me out of the game. They double cover me all the time. Of course they can take me out. I want to see them play me one-on-one. The next time we played Cincinnati that season, later on in that season, because it had all been drumming up now, I had probably one of my worst games.
Oh, no.
That's why after that, I didn't say anything else. I just went out there and played. Like, I will let my play do the talking, rather saying something after the game or before the game. Now, during the game, we could talk, but I think it came back to bite me.
Don't need to create the bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Here's one, and this was actually given to us on the tweet line, but we've talked so much about the S2 cognitive cognition. What did we say? Test is probably the wrong term.
Evaluation.
Mm-hmm. That's got all the scuttlebutt going on CJ Stroud. This is from Jorge. I'm a lead data scientist at a Fortune 500 company, and the data that's being reported about correlation between a high test score and a high quarterback play in the NFL is not sufficient in terms of sample size and experiment designs to make a decision or even causation. And we're going by this article. Mm-hmm. It's really more hearsay. I don't know the people that are quoted in the article, how much data they actually have, but based on what Jorge's saying, he's probably right. We're taking this to be the truth, and we don't have all the data. But you've been sort of saying that.
Yeah, and that's what I said. You got to give me some other things than just putting out these young men test scores and saying, well, it doesn't necessarily mean if you score high that you're going to be a great quarterback, but it does mean if you score low, then you're not going to do as well. And again, I go back to, well, you got to give me a little bit more. You got to, you can't just throw these things at me, because what you're throwing at me, it's sort of skewing it the way you want me to believe, or what you want me to believe about, this is, not a test, but this particular, I want to say test, but it's not a test.
It's not like the
evaluation,
like a
sort of
classroom test, exactly, that you think about, that you bubble in A, B, C, D.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you got to give me the particulars. You got to give me some more stuff that goes along with this. I want to see, well, of those quarterbacks that scored low, how many of those quarterbacks would you have projected to be starters in the NFL or even on NFL rosters? You can't just say, well, this is what, these are the numbers that we have, because obviously you've been doing this test for a while. So you need to, if you want me to truly buy into this test, and I'm not saying the test, it's flawed or anything else. I'm just saying, if you want me to truly buy into it, you got to give me everything, like all of the tests, so right, I can then better understand where you're coming from.
And I think, too, it's since it is very new, mm-hmm, we can poke a lot of holes into it. And since it is very new, but we still have enough of a sample size to say, hey, the guys that score high, a lot of them have ended up being elite, or rather the elite quarterbacks have scored high. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. So we can use that small sample size to say, hey, the ones that are elite scored high. But it's not necessarily a causation of if you score high, you'll be elite. From that small sample size, it has shown the ones that score low don't perform very well. But exactly to your point, let's dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Like, who were those guys?
If I score low and I don't end up very well in the NFL, well, that probably makes sense.
Well, Carolina.
That checks out. Yeah, I'm a Bryce Young stature out here. Like, of course I'm not going to perform very well. So, yeah, I think it is fair. And I think the Wonderlic thing, a very antiquated way that we look at quarterbacks or just players in general, because we have such a massive sample size of being able to say, this is silly. Like, why are we asking these players the state capitals? That's not going to, translate to the field. We're not there with the S2 cognition test. Mm-hmm. Will we ever get there? Maybe not. Maybe this will actually show that this is the closest thing to evaluate reaction time and analysis and all of those things. But maybe it will come out where it says, valuable, but exactly, it's not everything.
Mm. Yeah.
Another texter texts in with a question for D. Mace. Who do you think is the best receiver in the league right now?
Ooh, best receiver in the league right now. Man. Jamar Chase, Jefferson, I guess the two LSU boys are 1-2. I mean, it's hard for me to. Okay. Jefferson and Chase, they are. Because, again, I go back to body of work. Like, and they've been in the NFL, both of them, what, 3 years?
Jefferson's been in for two.
Two and
Chase. I'm sorry, three and two, respectively.
Three and two, okay. So in their body of, their short body of work, they have shown that barring injury, that the expected numbers should be Hall of Fame numbers based upon what they've done in a short amount of time. And I'm always the one, listen, you got to put together a body. Because I've seen guys have two or three great seasons and then they fall off the map. Not to say that Chase and Jefferson is going to do that, because I don't think they will. I think they will only get better unless injury is involved in this. But when I look at guys that have a body of work, Diggs has a body of work.
D-Hop.
D-Hop has a body of work. Why am I forgetting his name now? From Tampa.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans has a body of work. That's how I look at receivers. Mike Evans quietly has had basically every year, I think, every year he's been in the NFL, it's been over 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards. And everybody knows he's getting the ball.
Tyreek is another one.
Tyreek Hill is another one. They have a bigger body of work. Not to say that Jamar Chase and Jefferson won't get there, because I think they will. But, you know, if you're saying who's the best receiver, I'm not going by one, two seasons. They are up there, Chase and Jefferson. But the one guy that I love D-Hop. I haven't seen. He catches everything. Everything that you throw his way, he catches. Sort of like Megatron. When you threw the ball to Megatron, Calvin Johnson, he has the best nickname ever in football.
It is a good one.
Megatron, ever. When you threw him the ball, you didn't even think about whether it's going to be caught or not. He was going to catch it. D-Hop is the same way. I've always compared him to Chris Carter. Chris Carter was another one. You throw him the ball anywhere, he in his range, he's catching everything. And D-Hop is the same way to me.
It's whenever you ask that question, I think you always have to specify who has had the best career.
Exactly.
D-Hop. Julio was another one.
Uh-huh.
Who would I rather have on my team right now? Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle.
Yes, exactly.
The young receivers that look very promising. Ask D. Mace. Appreciate everybody for sending in their questions for Ask D. Mace. But coming up next, this time next week, we will know what the Titans have decided to do with their first round pick. But did we maybe get a little bit of an insight of what they could be doing this time next week? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.